Welcome everyone, great to see you. Welcome to part two of our sermon series called The Hope Effect. And today I want to have a conversation with you around where do we and how do we find hope in the middle of hopelessness? And when I say the middle, I mean, let's be honest, much of our lives are played out in the middle. The tension, if you like, the mess, the mayhem, the harsh realities of life. If you're anything like me, you love a beginning, fresh start, the hope. You love the end, often the satisfaction, the achievement, arriving at that thing that you desired and dreamed of and that hope fulfilled. But what happens in the middle is often the most challenging thing. We love the promise, for sure. We love the provision. But between those bookends, we have something called problems. If you read the entirety of the Bible, you'll see that. You'll often see promise, provision, but in the middle, trials, problems, setbacks, just the reality of life. And I think you can break down the journey of the Christian faith into those three things: promise, problems, and provision. You know, having three kids, one of the most common phrases we hear, Joni and I, whenever we're going on a long journey, particularly on holiday, is we hear, "Are we nearly there yet? Are we nearly there yet?" And of course, the lead up to the holiday, the promise of it, the excitement is fantastic. When we arrive at our holiday destination, it's brilliant, the sense of relief. But the journey in between, the in-between space, is just full of chaos in our car. Frequent toilet breaks, arguments, no space, getting lost. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one who experiences this kind of drama on a family journey. Or take a run. I don't really like running, but when I do run, I like the beginning bit. I like the thought and the idea of running. The sense of energy that you have and the pace that you have. And then you love the end. I'm coming to the finishing line, if you like. I've completed my 5K run. A sense of achievement, accomplishment, satisfaction. But of course, the middle of the run is often the hardest. It's when you want to give up. It's when you want to quit. And we could take 1,001 analogies, can't we, in terms of real life. You could look at a farming analogy, you could look at education, you could look at marriage. So many different real life experiences where most of life is just played out in the middle. And I want to encourage you today of this thought that God's timing is always perfect. If it's not God's time, you cannot force it, and when it's God's time, you can't stop it. So even when we're struggling, even when we're in the middle of that place between promise and provision, God's timing is always perfect. God's delay does not ever mean his denial. And none of us like waiting. Just take normal life, just take this year, and I'm sure it's amplified for all of us how often impatient we are, how much we don't like queuing or waiting for things, or when things are slowed down. I think it's been a real redemptive season and lesson for us as Christians in terms of slowing down and slowing down our pace. But delay, waiting, being in the middle of life, uncertainty, tension. These are all things that, for a follower of Jesus, are so crucial, so imperative to us in terms of our walk and becoming like Jesus. The in-between spaces, the in-between moments, the middle is real life. And this pandemic has, for me, been like a real life parable that has taught many of us that the battle for hope is so real, it's so intense, and that real life is just, well, it's just real. it's where reality of life has probably hit home for many of us, the reality around such things as human fragility and life and death, and where we anchor our hope. And for us and for our church family and for many in our community, this is where we find ourselves right now. This is our cultural moment, if you like. We're in the middle of the story. John Mark Comer, pastor, teacher, author, says this: COVID-19 is a kind of involuntary desert. It's life played out in the middle. There's a stripping away right now of all the peace and prosperity we used to. Many of us are left bare and exposed to anxiety and attachments. And so I think this has actually been a season of letting go. It's been a season of grieving and embracing and lamenting the loss of those attachments that we may have once held to. In fact, one of the main emotions that we experience in times like this is, of course, disappointment. If you break that word apart, dis obviously means to miss. Appointment is something prearranged, predetermined. To be disappointed means to literally miss an appointment. So you sense this promise or this hope, and that has been taken away from you, and we're in the middle of chaos and uncertainty, and so therefore disappointment can often set in. It's when expectations are not met by our experiences. We heard a promise but still no provision. And the truth is, a lot of those things that we thought were promised were never promises at all, and that's something about the reality of life that we need to embrace and have a biblical worldview when it comes to our lives, when it comes to the things of this world, that we live in the now and the not yet kingdom tension, that we see breakthroughs of God's power and deliverance and healing, but we still live in a broken world. We still live in the presence of sin, but because of Jesus, we no longer have to live under the power of sin, and the penalty of sin has been broken on the cross. But just think with me for a moment about the vast array of losses that we may experience in our lives. There are devastating losses, aren't there? The death of loved ones, premature death of a child, a spouse, a divorce, irreversible cancer, abuse, infertility, the shattering of a lifelong dream, suicide, someone who you put your trust in betrays you, the discovery that one of your role models was corrupt. And then you've got other losses that are considered by many to be insignificant, but to others are huge. And it's so important that we grieve over those things, natural losses, you know, graduating from university and lose your emotional, financial security, and kind of your youthfulness ebbs away, relationships don't work out, your children become less dependent on you as you get older. You know, fire destroys your cherished possessions, leadership changes in the church. I mean, so many different things. And then there's abstract losses, things like the loss of respect and self-respect, the loss of integrity. There's imagined loss. People maybe saying things about you, and God just tells you just to let it go, and that's a struggle. There's threatened losses. You're waiting for a test result or an evaluation in your job. Loss is loss, and what is catastrophic for one person is often insignificant for another. But the real issue isn't the loss itself, it's our attachment to loss. And here's what I do know, is that letting go is paramount. Letting go is key. In fact, the whole of the Christian life, and this is encouraged time and time again, particularly by Jesus, is that single-minded challenge to our hearts to always not sit on the fence, not to live the divided life, but to choose and to be all in and to surrender and to relinquish that control, trusting in a sovereign God. a sovereign God who is the God of providence. He's the God of miracle. He's a God who sees everything, who looks at our lives from the final chapter of the book, if you like, works backwards. He looks for our lives from harvest, works backwards. I always put it like this, and it's just the best analogy to explain this, but there's a jigsaw puzzle, and it's one of those really complicated ones. In fact, there's a place we go to in the Lake District in Grasmere, has a jigsaw puzzle shop, and it puts me off getting a jigsaw puzzle just looking how complicated some of those are, but there's some epic ones. And but it's like one of those big jigsaw puzzles, and it's just in thousands of little pieces, and we're trying to make sense of it. And God has the box lid of our lives. He knows exactly where those pieces are supposed to go. We need to trust in Him, and we need to embrace life in the middle and the tension. To live in holy uncertainty, which is the capacity to live with a really loose grip or no grip at all on our plans and the outcomes of our plans, and our security needs to be rooted in our relational connection to God, not in a false sense of control. I think here's one of the great lies from the enemy, is that you'll never come through this. If you're right in the middle of something, if whatever I'm saying to you today resonates with your situation, it's just holding up a mirror to your life right now, is that we believe the lie that we'll never ever get through this, we'll never be happy again, we'll never be strong again, that your life will never be purposeful again. But God is weaving away behind the scenes with truth and His life and His sovereign work. And when we read the Word, that's why it's so important to anchor ourselves in the Word of God and spend time in His presence, because we need to hear the strands of truth which directly oppose that lie, and let them come and invade and immerse our hearts and our minds, and let renew our minds so we live in a place of strength and faith and hope. Friends, it's tough. But I truly believe this, and it's been my experience for the 30 years I've been following Jesus, is God, I believe, does His best work in us in the middle of lives. Not at the beginning, not at the end, but in the middle of our lives. This is an invitation by God to let go of our attachments, to grieve our losses, and step into real hope, sure hope, solid hope. A living hope. Now here's some practical things. I want to give you five strategies, if you like, to lean into hope in these times. So the first thing I want you to do is to consider this, to not lock down. Don't lock down, but look up. It was clear on a leaders meeting we had with our small group leaders this week that God was speaking to us about that for many of us, we find ourselves in a valley right now, which is kind of the middle tension, uncertainty that I'm talking about. And one of the redemptive purposes of being in a valley, if you read the Psalms, is of course as we walk through the valley, but it is to look up. It's like we're hemmed in before and behind. You know, when we're in a valley, the tendency is to look down and to drag our feet and stare at our feet in disappointment and self-pity and hopelessness. But a valley is a place often strategically placed in our lives, so which restrains, so the only option is to look up. And I'm reminded of those verses in Psalm 139, you hem me in before and behind. And so I think an anthem for our hearts, to peddle hope, if you like, in these times, is found in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Do you know, God does more when we're asleep than when we're awake. God is always on it. He's never asleep. He never slumbers. And the invitation is to look to Him. This is a time to camp around God's presence, to trust to allow him to lead and guide us day by day through this season of uncertainty and unrest, to abide in God, to make our home in God, to come and rest in God and let God's Sabbath rest come and dwell in us. And we do this through prayer, we do this through reading the Bible, spending time with Jesus. Second thing is to not lock down, but to look back, and the Psalms are full of that one word, remember. A call to remember that when you're feeling hopeless, when you're in the middle of the tension and certainty of life, is what we need to do is to look back at the goodness and the faithfulness and the provision of God in our lives. Look back at the markers, the times of trial from before, the things that have marked us. Psalm 77 says this, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all of your mighty deeds. So we need to stare into the wonders of the gospel, the provision of his blood for our sin, that we're forgiven, that we're co-heirs with Christ. He's made his home in us. He has prepared a home for us. Now, friends, this is how I view life. This is how I maintain hope, is I live day by day grateful and thankful for the provision of Christ and what he's done. And you know, if I never receive like a tangible blessing, you could say, in this life ever again, I know that I've received much more than I could ever deserve because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. So I just sing and I worship God and I love him because of what he's done, and that is the hope, that is the sure hope that fuels me. Hope in things that can be lost, not hope in things that are temporary and the things which are seen, but my hope is permanent in things which are unseen. But I look back at what Christ has done, and every day I live in that grace that he has provided for me. The third thing is this, don't lock down, but look in front. Lamentations 3, yes, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. In other words, look at what's in front of you, literally like today. Just take Sunday, today, and look at what's in front of you. Live gratefully one step and one moment at a time. It's funny, isn't it? I found this, it's so to be true, that I've often found it quite easy to give God my future. And I think that sense of, yeah, you know, the worship music's playing and the core ministry time, let's give God our entire futures. But I think that's easy to do often because of the simple fact that we don't have it yet. And I think this season is causing us to be grateful and be thankful and to live every single day and to give God our todays, which is what we have and what we see and what we feel, which is right in the middle and the tension of our experiences. And to give God that, to trust God and let his word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so therefore we must fight off the urge to complain and to grumble and instead give thanks to God for literally our daily bread, literally and figuratively. And allow his, as Lamentation says, you know, his mercy and his compassion, they never fail, to live in that faithfulness and allow that, it, you know, I love fresh bread. Fresh bread, straight out of the oven, best thing ever. Stale bread, not so good. And allow his mercy and compassion to be like that fresh bread every single day. The fourth thing, don't lock down, but look out. Now, this is huge, guys. If you want to rise up on hope, then you need vision. You need to look out and have vision. And let me warn you, I've experienced this in my life, and this year definitely, is the greater the vision that you have, the greater the tension. The more you believe God and expecting of God and the great dreams you have and the sense of call that you have, then the greater the sense of tension and the gap between what is hoped for and dreamt of and what is actually real in your life. And so as a pastor, I live with that tension every single day, but I'm filled with hope. And so I just embrace tension, I embrace uncertainty, I embrace living in the grey. I think that's part of the Christian life. But I always believe better days are coming. I believe good fruit is coming. And through the trials for my own life and for others, I just believe that Jesus is making me more like him. So that's why I embrace the trials. I'm like, wow, God is just, he's doing some pruning on me. He's working on my character. And because of this, that is why Jesus is my magnificent obsession. There are so many things that we can be obsessed about right now. But Jesus remains and will always be my magnificent obsession. Because he's always good and my vision is set on him. You know, it's really important that we cultivate a vision in times of hopelessness and when we're in the middle. Because what that means is that we will not be defined by the situation, the circumstances around us, but we'll be defined by the vision. And the vision will help us to push through those quitting points and those difficult times. I mean, Joni will talk more about this next week in terms of being a community of hope. But tension and uncertainty is best lived with outrageous, extravagant generosity and compassion. Well, it's all about reaching people. And this is why we've been completely, utterly focused on this year. And there'll be never going back, no shrinking back from advancing God's kingdom through compassion, generosity, and reaching people. Finally, don't lock down, but look within. Psalm 43, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Do you know, there's a time when you just have to preach to yourself. There's times when your heart and your emotions and your mind is in just such disarray that you just need to tell your soul a few things. And that's what we read in the Psalms, what David seemed to tell him to look, all this uncertainty, I'm in the middle of mayhem and mess, problems all around me. And I'm just gonna need to tell my soul a few things. Why are you so downcast? Why? Why? That's not truth. Put your trust, put your hope in God. That is truth. Go back to the promises of God and where he's provided. And I find that's really helpful to do by, and the Psalms full of this, by singing, by worshipping. I found that when my mind is just muddled and emotions are just going all over the place, I just think, time out with God's word, invite God's presence, just listen to some worship music and just begin to worship. Just find that things kind of take their appropriate size in my life. Start to get put back, as it were, reorientated, if you like, in terms of that place, that right place, that right sense of peace with God. And I think those are the times where you just need to speak to yourself. Say, why are you so downcast? Why are you so down? Here's some perspective. So my prayer for you today is that you found these five practical points really helpful. And I encourage you to kind of listen to this again, to make notes, allow God to speak to you in your situation. And I pray that you'll really lean into fresh hope today and for this coming week. We love you. We're here for you if you need anything. God bless.